This is the CISA 6 Energizer podcast for educational administrators, and I'm your host, Amy Bindis. Our intention for this podcast is to energize you with ideas and encourage you to bring a high level of anabolic or uplifting and optimistic energy to the important process of staff growth and development. Today, we'll continue our conversation on the nudge formula for employee effectiveness. We've gone through an overview of the nudge formula, which stands for nurture, unpack, develop, give and receive, and empower. And we've discussed how this is a never-ending back-and-forth process to help your staff reach their potential. Today's focus is on the U, unpacking the criteria for success and growth. I want to give you a scenario to think about as we talk about unpacking success criteria. Let's say you're on a beach vacation. I know that sounds great, doesn't it? When you see an advertisement for a sand creature building contest, you and your 8-year-old teammate decide to enter and have some fun, maybe even win one of the many prizes offered. You confer together and decide to build the best alligator ever. You decide to position your creature emerging from the ocean for effect. You build up mounds of sand and mix in just the right amount of water to make a strong base to pack together. Then the body starts to take shape. As your partner works on giving the curve of the tail just right, you painstakingly attend to the details in the eyes, snout, and ferocious teeth set perfectly in the jawline. As time runs out, you and your partner come together to complete the scales on the body and do one last measurement to ensure that your creature is within the size requirement for the competition. You both stand admiring your fierce, lifelike creature emerging menacingly from the ocean as passersby enthusiastically share their approval and awe at your work. As the afternoon sun begins to set in the sky, the judges make their way down the beach, assessing the many sand creatures created. Before they get to your alligator, the tide rushes in and sweeps half of it away. You look at your partner, who begins to cry. You realize your work wasn't perfect, but you believe it would have been impressive had the judges been able to score it. Why had no one ever shared the expectation that your creature be built so many feet away from the ocean to avoid the powerful tide? As the judges approach your creature, they let you know that it was unacceptable for the competition anyway, as it had to evoke joy and not scare children. What else would you not have known that would have helped you and your partner be more successful had they told you? When we look at this scenario, now let's compare it to when we look to help our staff do the best they can in their practice. It's essential that they not only know the expectations of effectiveness, but also that they understand how to meet and even exceed those expectations. A famous quote in management comes from the work of Lewis Gerstner Jr., with the message of it being that you must inspect what you expect, meaning that success won't just happen unless you ensure your staff knows how to achieve it, and that you inspect whether or not they're doing it along the way. The sand competition judges could have come along before the disaster to help you understand the rules of the competition, along with the best practice of building far enough away from the ocean. No one enters a competition to have their work destroyed or to be disqualified. Just as no one comes to work in a school to intentionally have a negative impact on student learning. With this in mind, what steps have you taken to ensure that your staff understand the expectations of their work so that they have a better understanding of how to be successful? If you'll be evaluating them on effectiveness in their practice, do they fully understand the criteria or expectations of research-based standards of practice? Then, have you scheduled time in your calendar to observe practice and to have the important collaborative conversations with staff to help them unpack the expectations and the success criteria? An evaluator needs to ensure the employee has a working knowledge and training of what the proficient level of success looks like, and then they go in to see if the staff member is able to engage in the practice successfully. In the nudge formula, unpacking practice with an educator includes examining the practices that have worked, as well as practices that have not been as impactful, and compare them to the research-based standards of effective practice to consider why. When examining practice in this way, it's more important to discuss how to be as successful as a professional and not just to be compliant. Remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that pyramid that we studied in school for human beings? The basic needs we all have as humans are at the bottom of the pyramid, including our physiological needs for health, our need for shelter and safety, and the need to be loved and belonged. As we move up that pyramid, we have a need to feel a self-worth, a sense of reaching our potential. As Saul McLeod explains in a simplypsychology.org blog from December 2020, self-actualization needs are the highest level in Maslow's hierarchy and refer to the realization of a person's potential, self-fulfillment, seeking personal growth, and having peak experiences. Maslow describes this level as the desire to accomplish everything that one can to become the most that one can be. When we understand and experience success, we gain confidence to continue to improve to this level. It's important to unpack the successes the educator has had thus far within the context of the situation in order to provide evidence of past accomplishment as a foundation for future achievement. So let's talk about how to unpack this evidence. As an educator, you understand how to collect unbiased and factual evidence on standards of practice. When you take the standards of effective practice into the educational setting as a guide, you look for that evidence within the standards and how the educator is putting it into practice. Collecting evidence necessitates that as an evaluator, we go in with a curious mind, kind of like a detective. There are no preconceived notions of what we will find, only curiosity. We need to put our judgment aside as far as how we would prefer to do something or how we did it in the classroom or in the educational setting, and we need to notice whether or not what the educator is currently doing is encouraging or detracting from student engagement and achievement. As a curious detective going in with unbiased non-judgment, with a focus on a certain practice, you'll be able to gather important evidence and wonderings that will help the educator unpack and examine effectiveness. When the post-observation conversation happens then, unpacking one area of practice at a time helps to not overwhelm the educator with wonderings and feedback. It also allows for intentional action steps to enhance what's having a positive impact on students or to change what is not in that one area. When you focus in on that one area, you gain leverage and there's more of a chance that the educator can truly improve in that one area at a time. So let's back up and be intentional about unpacking success criteria. We have a tool that you can use to think about any aspect of school leadership, whether it's unpacking how to prepare teachers for the evaluation of effective teaching, or whether you're implementing a new curriculum or another initiative in your building. Our tool has four columns, so imagine four columns that you would fill out individually or maybe with a leadership team. The first column header is, what is the expectation? What is it specifically that you would like to see? Being able to create a succinct and clear definition to communicate is key here. For example, in the effectiveness project, standard 5 is the learning environment. And one of those indicators is creating a safe, respectful environment where students are able to take risks. So being really clear on what that looks like will help you in that expectation. The next column has you answer the question, what does someone need to know in regards to the expectation? The third column asks you to indicate What does someone need to be able to do? So in filling out what does someone need to know about creating a respectful learning environment, well, they need to know about culturally responsive indicators and how to include all different kinds of backgrounds and different opinions in the classroom and how to help students elevate each other and respect each other. And then they have to be able to carry that out. So to build that sense of trust in the classroom, to build that classroom camaraderie, they need to know how to engage in activities that will do that. The final column of the tool asks you to determine how will teachers learn this? How will they learn the content and skills to be able to meet the expectation? Does a new teacher have a mentor that might help them determine how to establish a respectful climate in the classroom? Do you have 10 minutes at a staff meeting that you all share ideas or talk about what students might be feeling so that people understand it better? When you're purposeful in your approach as to what you expect as a leader, and when you provide your staff with clear expectations, the necessary knowledge and skills to apply those expectations, and a way for them to gain those knowledge and skills, you set your staff and subsequently your students up for a higher chance of success. As always, if you would like more information about collaborative conversations, the Unpack Success Criteria tool, using the Nudge formula, being able to choose your energy in any given situation, leadership coaching, or anything else that would increase your impact, feel free to contact a CISA 6 Growth and Development Consultant today. Our job is to support and energize you in reaching your potential. Thanks for your attention and have a great day.